From 99.9 The Fan, this is The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Sponsored by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at CapitalFinancialUSA.com.
The Canes have something cooking. And that has never been more obvious than last night against the Islanders. Down 3-0. Down 3-1 in the third. Ringing the post five times while down 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Win anyway. Win dramatically anyway. Pull the goalie, get the goal, get another. It was truly one of those games that you'll remember, and if you don't believe me, here's Rod Brind'Amour saying just that.
Well, it was a special night, for sure. Like you said, it's one of those games that you'll probably look back on for a long time, and just a special game overall, especially the way it unfolded. So, yeah, it's pretty special.
How will you remember it? We want to hear from you. 919-860-5326. It's the Heister Automotive Group hotline. 919-860-5326. How will you remember last night's Canes game? Here's how I'll remember it. It wasn't just that they were down 3-0 in the second period and scored five unanswered goals to come back and win the game in regulation. It wasn't just that they were down 3-1 halfway through the third and came back to win in the final minutes. It was that they were having terrible puck luck and rang the post five times like I talked about and were out shooting the Islanders by a billion. And were in a lot of ways outplaying the Islanders by a bunch. And they were still down 3-1 halfway through the third period. And they still came back to win. There was absolutely no quit in them. And in a seven-game series, when you're the better team, you haven't played your A game for two games, but you've already won one, it's so easy to just go, you know what? We'll win three of the next five. It's so easy to just go, you know what? Today's not our night. Maybe it would have been if one of these pucks hit the post and went in. Well, guess what happened on the next shot? Seth Jarvis hit the post and it went in. And then your stars stepped up and it was Jarvis to Svech, to Aho. They just kept playing. There's nothing assumed. There's nothing taken for granted. Rod Brind'Amour again after the game on his message to the group.
Can't really pinpoint one guy. I mean, there was a bunch of guys that played really well. Jarvi was phenomenal. Svech was phenomenal. I mean, I could just keep going with Seabass, Jordo, Martin. I mean, everybody was just on it. We gave them a couple. It wasn't, how we'd like to start, that's for sure. Although we had a good start. It was a couple plays in there where we didn't execute, and they did. But again, the story is just that we kept going, and that's what I love about this group, because you've watched them all year, and really for a long time, and that's they don't stop.
They don't stop. I think at times they surprised themselves last night. I think at times they were like, well, we were hoping to tie it up before the end of regulation, end up winning by two. You can see some of the celebrations, the true oh my goodness moments. I have to admit, I missed the initial showing of the Martinuk goal, because when you have the Aho goal and you're in media, you're immediately like, I have to come up with the perfect tweet to encapsulate this feeling. And I'm going Svech to Aho. This is why these guys are who they are. This is why Aho's going to level up. And I'm looking forward. And as I'm typing, I was watching the game with my wife. I just hear her scream. And I'm like, oh, what is it? She's like, I don't know, it's a goal. Martinuk scored. It was almost too quick. Not actually, but missed it. And it was so many, right? You can't pinpoint one guy. You can pinpoint 10 guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jarvis, playoff Jarvis, has the perfect intensity for postseason hockey. Ripping it blocker side high off the post and down in that situation completely changed the game. There were three times I think the game changed in favor of the Canes. There were a bunch of times it switched out of favor of the Canes. In favor of the Canes, I think it was the Nason fight because it got PNC rocking and it got everybody back. It kind of it showed that they're not giving up, right? You don't go through that whole ordeal if you're just mailing it in for the rest of the game. Then the Jarvis goal, because going from down 3-0 to down 3-2, it just makes it feel like you have the momentum. It makes it feel like it's possible. And then obviously the Aho goal, because it was your best players making a play. It was the goalie was pulled, so it felt like a last gasp effort, and they came through. And that leads us to where we are now, in which the series might be over.
Oh, Islanders don't come back from that. No way they do.
It might be one of those things where we have to win two more games as a formality. It's like we have to go through the motions. You don't want the players thinking that, but I don't see a huge fight being put up by the Islanders.
They'll win one in Long Island. It's a home. They'll win one at home. But I do not see them bouncing back from down. They have to win four of the next five. And you've thrown your best punches in the first two games, and you're still down 2-0. Like, there's no way you bounce back. I actually, after the game, so I was down in the lower level where the locker rooms are, and obviously a lot of the media going to the Canes locker room, rightfully
because
so.
Because why wouldn't you go because to the happiest place on earth?
Exactly. I was like, I want to see what the Islanders look like coming off the ice. So I walked down to where they're coming off the ice. I saw so many slumped shoulders, heads down, dejected, defeated, like, we were up 3-0, and there was nothing we could do to stop them. Because, like, let's be honest, the Canes controlled a majority of that game yesterday. People were like, oh, they stole the game. To me, no, they took what was theirs. They controlled the game. It just happened to be a dramatic win. They took what was theirs yesterday, and the Islanders knew it too.
I will add that the Islanders were complicit in the comeback.
Oh, for sure.
There were things they could have done.
But they're also not good enough. That's the thing. They're also just not good enough.
you're hitting them with one of the most frustrating things that when you play golf with a good golfer and you're a bad golfer, not that I have a ton of experience in this, but I have a ton of experience in this.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the bad golfer and you make a bad shot and get mad, you see the good golfer thinking to you, like, you're not good enough to get upset when you play bad, right? Like, that's kind of what you're hitting the Islanders with.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you played bad down the stretch and the Canes took advantage of it, but you're not good enough to expect to play so good that the Canes can't take advantage of it.
But when you do play your best, you're not good enough to beat them. You're just not. To win
funny.
A seven-game series, you're just not good enough. Congrats.
And now it's not just winning a seven-game series, it's winning a seven-game series where you spotted them two already.
Yeah, now you got to win four or five.
Now you have to
good
win four
luck.
Or five, and you can't depend on the puck luck going your way like it has a little bit already. You can't expect the Canes to start slow like they did after the Kuzi goal in game one. You can't expect to hit the post. Those shots are going to fall.
Yeah.
Those shots are going to fall. They're going to go in, and you know, you – three goals isn't going to get it done against the Canes. Because you know what else was really fun? And this is kind of a side note, but it was really fun to see the Canes when they absolutely needed a goal and knew they could be a little bit risky, like it was time to take chances,
mm-hmm.
to put their offensive players that have been assembled out there, and it's like, good, go. You know what I mean? It's not there's something like again, I'll use a cross sport analogy. When there was one year where both Draymond Green and Klay Thompson were hurt, and I was like, I'm kind of excited to see what Steph Curry does when he's like unshackled and it's just go. You don't have to worry about getting other guys started. Like, it was just go. Which, by the way, then Steph ended up getting hurt, and we never got to see that either. There was part of me where the Canes are down 3-1 and it's getting close to the end. I'm like, I kind of want to see what this new offensive firepower does when they, you know, take off the speed governor and say, let's go. And guess what? They ended up scoring 5 unanswered goals and making the Islanders the most frustrated team in the world, who just started lashing out with a billion misconducts there at the end.
Yeah, exactly, because they knew. They're like, we got nothing else. We got nothing else.
I actually thought the Islanders actually jumped out to a lead so quickly they didn't really have to. But I thought they were going to be doing all that chippy stuff from the very beginning because they didn't have any other tool in their toolbox. They waited until the Canes came back to start pulling it off. We picked up a little bit of breaking news. Seth Trimble, who was a very high-profile enter into the transfer portal from the University of North Carolina Tar Heels, announced on his own Instagram that he is coming out of the portal and going back to UNC.
Hey, look at that.
That's big for UNC.
Oh, it's massive.
He is potentially their best athlete. I would say this past year was their best perimeter defender.
And
somebody with experience coming into the season, and when they're going to lose a bunch of experience. Harrison Ingram announced he's going pro. Armando Bacot obviously leaving, so they need all the experience they can get, and it worked out pretty well.
Still waiting on R.J. Davis. As far as we know, Elliot Cadeau is going to be coming back for his sophomore year. We know Jalen Washington's coming back, believe me correctly, for his junior year. I totally forgot that Jalen Withers redshirted his first year at Louisville. So with the redshirt year and COVID year, he's actually is eligible to come back. I missed that. I forgot that. So I know we've been saying that Jalen Withers is not coming back. He is eligible to come back. So Withers, Washington, if Trimble coming back, Cadeau, we'll see what R.J. Davis does.
Ian Jackson, Drake Powell the freshman, not I almost called it the freshman portal. Yeah. That's called just recruiting.
That's just called recruiting.
recruiting.
Might as well be a freshman portal. but nonetheless, it's actually a pretty decent amount of guys coming back, especially, like you said, if R.J. Davis adds into the mix. And Harrison Ingram is keeping his option open to come back to college. He's not going to sign with an agent, so you never know. You might get Trimble coming back, Davis coming back, and there's a potential that Ingram comes back too.
And I do believe you can sign with an agent, just has to be an NCAA-approved agent. The world is changing
every
day.
It's a weird rule.
Obviously, if we want to go full conspiracy theory.
Oh, tinfoil hat.
And you start asking questions, was the market not there for Trimble as big as he thought it would be in the portal?
Possibly.
Did UNC pony up some cash that they didn't have when he first went into the portal? Maybe some cash that they had earmarked. And when I say UNC, I mean the collectives and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe some cash that they had earmarked for Harrison Ingram. And once he decided to announce he's going pro, they said, well, this money's burning a hole in our pocket. Here you go. Doesn't mean R.J. Davis changed his mind. Right? Did Seth Trimble call up his buddy RJ and say, hey, are you coming back? And RJ said, yeah, probably. If you want to be a starting two guard, you should probably go somewhere else. And then he hit the portal, and then maybe RJ Davis called him back up and said, hey, remember how I told you I was coming back? Maybe not. Again, these are all rumors, and not even rumors. They are inferences connecting loosely spaced dots. Or, ready for this? This might be the best possible conspiracy theory on how this happens. Maybe it was just a 19-year-old changing his mind.
It could be that, too.
There's quite a few instances in history of 19-year-olds not being the most decisive people in the world.
What? No.
So that's also a possibility. But that will not stop us from asking questions. Just asking questions.
That's all.
Seth Trimble back to UNC. That's big for the Tar Heels, big for Hubert Davis.